I don't know if it's a good idea that they're giving me a microphone my last official day here or not, but needless to say, I'm going to get going here. We're excited. What we've been doing here at Trinity for the last few weeks is we've been asking a very important question. What is the purpose of all this? What is the purpose of church? Why do we come here on Sunday? Why are we a part of this community? And you know, through the pandemic, the last couple years, churches across the world have had to re-ask this question. And I think it's a really good thing. I feel like we should constantly be asking this question and reassessing, are we doing this the way we should be, the way the Bible teaches? And so this morning, we're going to continue asking that question. We're going to look at another answer to it. And as I think about my views on the subject, the purpose of church, what is the purpose of church? My views have changed over the years. So I found this picture. I thought, you know, what would 13-year-old Evan say about the purpose? What would he say is the purpose of church? And being the punk kid I was, I probably would have said, who cares? It probably would have been my first response. Who cares about church? Right, but if you actually pushed me, I probably would have said something like this. I probably would have said, you know what, you go to church to make God happy, right? And you want to make God happy because if you make him happy, he might give you what you want. And at the time, what I wanted were the Red Sox to win. My dad remembers, my mom remembers. Could you tell I was a Red Sox fan? I don't know if you could tell. But I want to ask you right now, if you had to answer the question for yourself, what would you say is the purpose of church? Or why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Right? Are you here because you too want to please God to help the Red Sox win? I heard they aren't doing so hot right now. I don't follow them as much. Or maybe I know the Kleinbergs, Josh. I know. I better be careful. Josh is running the slides. They're Yankees fans. Maybe they're here because they want God to continue to help the Yankees be in first place. I don't know. But seriously, I want you to ask the question right now. Ask yourself, why are you here? And what I hear most often people say is they go to church to fix their marriage. They go to church so they can bring their kids to learn good morals. They go to church because they just feel like it's the right thing to do. They go to church to make their parents happy, their grandparents happy. Right? Those are some of the reasons I hear. But I think a good way for us to see what we believe the purpose of church is to ask ourselves, why are we coming to church? Why are you here? And so while you're thinking about how you'd answer that question, I'll tell you why President Evan is here. And it's actually a lot easier to answer because it's very simply, I'm here right now to tell you what the book of Acts has to say about why we're here. Right? And the book of Acts is the obvious place to go to answer this question. Right? The book of Acts is not a church manual, but it's a story about the earliest Christians, the disciples, right after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended. It's the story of them wrestling with, what do we do now? Right? And we're still in that same age of time. The disciples are given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus. And so it makes sense for us to look at what they did, the stories of what they did after Jesus rose, because I think we have a lot to learn from that. And so I'm going to answer the question first. What is the purpose of the church? The book of Acts would say this. Now, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Josh, you can go to the next slide. In the first verse of the book of Acts, Luke writes this. In my former book, Theophilus, who he was writing to, I wrote all about all that Jesus began. Right? In the Gospel of Luke, he wrote all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. That's the first verse of the book of Acts. It implies that this book is him writing to see what Jesus continued to do, Right? And that's why it's given its name, Acts. Acts is short for the acts, the continued acts of Jesus through his Spirit and his people. And if you remember a few weeks ago when Pastor Peter started this sermon series, he said the mission of Jesus continues through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through his church. And so here's how I'm going to answer the question. What is the purpose of church? It's to continue the mission of Jesus. It's to continue to teach and do what Jesus taught and did. Okay, now I know what you're thinking. That begs an even larger question. Well, what is the mission of Jesus? Right? And of course, I'm not going to be able to fully answer that question this morning. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at what this next story in the book of Acts has to say on it. And now, it's so important that we understand what the mission of Jesus is. Because, honestly, we've seen in the news lately, what happens when you get that wrong? If you think the mission of Jesus is simply to protect the church, then you're going to do things, you're going to sacrifice, and you're going to do wrong things to protect the church. Right? I'm sure many of you heard about what happened with the SBC. If you don't, it's okay. It's not a good thing. But I believe they have the mission of the church wrong. And it's so important that we understand what the mission of Jesus actually is. Or else we're not going to do this right, guys. And we're going to do way more harm than good. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue on in the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 3. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to tell this story in two parts. I'm going to tell the first half of the story. I'm going to pause, make a couple points. Then I'm going to tell the rest of the story and conclude with a couple takeaways, all right? But before we dive in, I want to just quickly pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you've given this to us to learn from it. I pray that you would speak through it, speak through me, teach us all a little bit more, give us all a deeper understanding of what the mission of Jesus is and how we could see it in this story. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, while you're turning to the book of Acts, chapter 3, we're going to start in the first verse. I want to remind you how chapter 2 ends. Okay, chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit comes for the first time at Pentecost, right? And Luke ends the chapter of summarizing what the early believers did with the Holy Spirit, right? They ate together. They spent a lot of time with each other. They listened to the apostles' teachings. They sold their things and gave them to the poor. They went to the temple daily, right? And the other thing Luke says is the apostles were healing people and performing miracles. That's what he says in his summary at the end of chapter 2. And so then chapter 3 starts with a specific story of one of those healings. Okay? So chapter 3 starts like this. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. The gate was named Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. All right, we're going to pause here. The disciples are still hanging out in Jerusalem. The temple is the temple in Jerusalem that they're going to. Okay? So after they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they stuck around going to the temple to teach the Jews, the practicing Jews at the time, about Jesus. Because not all of them believed. Right? So they continued to go because the gospel, as Paul always tells us, was first for the Israelites, first for the Jews. And so one day when Peter are walking there, they see right outside the gate this lame man. And now Luke tells us this man was lame from birth. He was born this way. And not only that, it said, Luke tells us he was carried every day to the temple. But notice, not into the temple, to the outside of the temple. Because what the Old Testament law forbid is for people who were lame or blind to actually go in to the temple. So he wasn't going in the temple. And now Jews in the surrounding area, they would come to the temple 3 times a day. 9 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, which is this story, and then at sunset. And what Luke tells us is this beggar was there every day, just laying there every day begging for money. Now, from the way Luke tells this story, I imagine most of the Jews who went there, if you're going there 3 times a day, maybe you're seeing this, walking past this guy 3 times a day, I guarantee for most of those people, most of those Jews, this man was invisible to them. And you know what's interesting? The temple was tasked with taking care of the poor. Luke doesn't tell us that in the story, but any Jew reading this would know. In Deuteronomy 15, Moses, I'm not going to read all this, but the Israelites were supposed to be taking care of the poor in their land. And it's pretty clear from this story that they were not. This man was there every day begging for money. It's pretty clear he had a lot of needs that weren't being taken care of. But Peter and John notice him. They see him when everybody else, it appears, didn't. And here's where we're going to start answering our question this morning. What is the purpose of the church? What is the mission of Jesus? It starts with seeing the lame man. It starts with seeing those in need, the oppressed, the downcast. Because do you know what we're really good at in America? We're really good at ignoring those in need. I mean, guys, it's so challenging even for me. I can't tell you how many times in the last year I've gotten off an exit on the highway and there's been a homeless person standing there. And I have to say 9 times out of 10, I avoid eye contact with them. We know what we're taught from, we're raised to almost just, no, ignore them. But do you know who was really good at seeing those people? Jesus. Jesus saw those people. And so if we want to continue the mission of Jesus, the first thing we need to do is renew our vision. We need to start seeing those in our community, the lame, the poor, the sick, and the oppressed, the same way Jesus did. Because we cannot continue the work of Jesus if we aren't. I mean, read the Beatitudes, guys. Jesus came for the broken, the poor in spirit, the meek, the oppressed, the widows and the orphans, the homeless and the sick. We must start to see and prioritize those people the way Jesus did. We're starting to answer the question. All right, so let's see. Peter and John didn't just see him and then, you know, go on their way. That's not the end of the story. So let's see what happens when they engage him. So let's read the rest of the story. So Peter's looking at this guy. This guy's looking at him, locked in on him. And Peter says, "Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And so Peter took him by the right hand, helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping, praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. What had just happened to him? This lame man probably woke up that morning just hoping to get enough money to get by. And instead, he was completely healed. And afterwards, if you read on a little bit, it says that he clung to Peter and John. He was so full of joy. And he now was allowed in the temple. And so he goes with them in there, and everybody's like, "What? Isn't that the guy? What happened?" And so Peter, being who he is, takes this opportunity. He's got everybody's attention. So he takes the opportunity to explain what happened. People are wondering, what happened to this guy? So Peter tells them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it was by our own power or our own godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." It wasn't Peter or John who healed this man. It was Jesus through his Spirit that he gave to Peter and John. And so Peter preaches a whole sermon after this. Right? He takes the time to explain this miracle. And here's why I believe he does that. I believe he does that because the point of this story is not the healing itself. The point of this story, is who the healing comes from, is who the healing points to. But before we get deeper into Peter's sermon, I want to stop again here because I know what some of us are thinking, okay? Every time we read a healing story in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, we start to wonder, does Jesus still heal people like this today? I know some of you are probably thinking this. This is what I thought about. And again, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't think the healing is the point of this story. It's what the healing means. But I also don't want to ignore what many of us are thinking. So here's what I'm going to say. Do I believe Jesus still heals people today? Absolutely. I absolutely do. There's people in our church and our community who have stories, who have seen this. Okay, but so maybe some of you are thinking, well, then why don't we see it more often? Are we doing something wrong? Are we missing something? And this is why this is a tough issue. I believe Jesus heals people today, and I believe he can heal anybody. But I think when we try to understand why he chooses to heal some and not others, that's when we start to tread into dangerous territory. And you know, this story is close to my heart. It's close to my family's heart. I know it's close to many of your hearts as well. And I don't really have too many clear things to say, but here's what I can say, all right? I don't believe there's a formula. I don't believe if you say the right words, the right prayer, if you do the right things, you can guarantee healing by Jesus, okay? Should we pray for healing? Absolutely. Please don't stop praying for healing. But what I hear many times, people say things like, if you pray for healing for someone, they're not healed, it means you didn't have enough faith. Right? If you only had more faith, then they would have been healed. And I know where people are getting that, right? Jesus did say, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And yet, here's something else the Bible teaches us. The Apostle Paul pleaded with God to heal him, to remove what he calls a thorn in his flesh. And guess what? God didn't remove it. And the truth is, we don't really know specifically what Paul's thorn in his flesh was. Right, Josh, you can put up the passage here. But I think the point he makes still applies. So I'm going to read this real quick. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations of Jesus, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul is literally an apostle. Paul is someone who the book of Acts tells the stories of him healing other people. In fact, he raises someone from the dead. It's actually a pretty funny story. Sort of funny, I guess. Paul is preaching, and there's a guy sitting in a window listening to him, and he falls asleep and falls out of the window and dies. Thankfully, none of you are sitting in a window right now. I'm sure Paul felt pretty bad because he went down and he asked the Lord to heal him and he was healed. But the Apostle Paul is someone we see perform many healings through the power Jesus gives him of his Spirit, and yet he's unable to find healing for himself. And so what that teaches me is this topic of healing is more complicated than what first appears. The reality is Jesus did not come to relieve us of all of our pain and suffering right now. That's what this passage teaches me. God allowed Paul to suffer to keep him humble, to bring more glory to Jesus through the weaknesses that the suffering produced. You see, God doesn't always remove the hard things from our life. He doesn't always heal us. He doesn't always protect us. It's a hard fact to swallow. Jesus himself says that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. In this broken world, good people suffer. And sometimes evil people prosper. So I can't tell you why Jesus doesn't heal and everybody who trusts in him to do so. I can't tell you why. But I want to start landing the plane here, and I want to tell you what I want to tell you something this morning for sure. I could tell you what Jesus did come to do. In the midst of this broken and dying world, what Jesus shows us through this healing story in Acts and from this passage of Paul is that he did come to redeem and renew and restore us. This is the mission of Jesus. This is the purpose of the church, to continue this redeeming work. In our story in Acts, the lame man, redemption for him, he's fully healed. He's physically healed. And we tend to focus on the physical healing, but how did that physical healing come about? Through faith in Jesus. It's a whole redemption. He's physically healed. His physical needs are met at the same time that his spiritual need is met. In the same moment. And so I talked about how Peter preaches after to explain what this miracle means. What is this healing pointing to? And here's what he says. He says, Josh, you could go to the next slide. He says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Peter's saying is this healing is pointing to that future restoration. The future redemption of all of creation. But the thing is, Jesus isn't going to wait till he comes back. He's already started. That's what this shows. He just healed this guy. He healed many people in his life. The apostles healed many people. Jesus is starting his redemption work now. He's not waiting till he comes back. That's when it's going to fully happen. But it's already started. And even the scholars who I read a couple commentaries on this. I'm reading the same David Peterson, Peter. He's really good. He has a lot of insights on this. Even he says, you can put up that quote. I'm not going to read the whole quote. He says the miracle points to the restoration, the full restoration of the whole created order is what he says on this story. Jesus came to redeem. We see it with the lame beggar. And you know what? If you read on into the book of Acts, we see it with the Apostle Paul. Right? The story of Saul going to Paul is one of my favorite stories. Because Saul was this Jewish leader, the Pharisee of all Pharisees, he even calls himself. And he was going around helping to murder Christians. And then Jesus showed up to him. And Jesus changed his life completely. Jesus took all the good things about Paul and redeemed them and used them. And so when we think about this story of the lame man and then the Apostle Paul, to me they're two very different and very beautiful examples of what redemption looks like through Jesus. Because both those men received very different changes in their lives. And yet both of those men were used to glorify Jesus. And so the mission of the church to continue the work of Jesus is to start redeeming. To continue the redeeming that he's doing. That's what it means when we say we want to further the kingdom of Jesus. Furthering the kingdom is bringing more of the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's redeeming this place. And so the two practical takeaways I want you to take away from this morning. The first I already said, we need to renew our vision. We need to start seeing those in need. But the end of the story, and I'm just going to tell you the end of the story, is after Peter and John preach, they're arrested. They're arrested. So they're arrested for this, and mostly because of what they have to say about Jesus. But I'll tell you what, they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were risking something by healing this man. Right? And when Chelsea and I were reading this story together, she actually pointed this out. She said, Evan, if you read on, don't you see that they were risking something to help this guy? And they end up getting arrested. And, you know, then they heal other people later on and get arrested again. And we know how Peter's life ends, at least. He was crucified. And so, we don't, as a church, guys, the mission of Jesus is to see those in need, but to love them and be willing to love them sacrificially as well. I mean, Jesus is the perfect example of that. He laid down his life for us, right? So we as the church should see those in need, and we should be beautiful examples of self-giving love, sacrificial love. That's what the church is all about. And so here I'm actually going to land the plane. You can put this last slide up, Josh. This is what I want you to take away. The purpose of the church, the mission of Jesus, is to redeem, restore, renew all people in all of creation. Now, I truly believe, I put all people up there for a reason, okay? I truly believe the mission of Jesus is to restore all people, but the reality is all people won't accept the invitation, right? And that's a huge reason why Chelsea and I are doing what we're doing. A huge reason why Katie and Jacob are doing what they're doing is some people don't even have the chance to hear this. Those are the unreached people groups in the world. That's what breaks our hearts.
We believe God wants every human being on planet Earth to have an opportunity to hear this wonderful news and to be able to participate in it. So there's a lot of people in the world who still don't have a chance to even hear this. And that's what drives Chelsea and I. But even for us in the West, in America, not everybody's going to accept the invitation. But you know what? The thing about Jesus is, he doesn't force us to. But he does invite us. And so as I end here, I want to invite you. Because we're all invited. We're all invited to join in on the work of Jesus. The door is open, and you know where Jesus wants to start? You know where he always starts? With you, inside you. That's where it's got to start, in fact. Invite him in. And if you do invite him in, here's what I can't promise you. I can't promise you that he's going to fix all your problems. I can't promise you that God is going to take away all your pain and suffering. He certainly hasn't for me or for my family. But what I can promise you is this. When you trust in Jesus, you will be changed. And he will walk through everything the world throws at you. He will walk with you through all the muck and the mire of this broken world. He will never leave or forsake you. And in the process, he wants to use you. Because, and this is the final thing I'm going to end with, because I always think about this. When I am so mad about something I hear on the news, and we have a lot of things right now. When I think about and get so angry about the evil in the world, do you know what I always think back to? That was the most evil thing that ever happened in the world. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was the only person who ever lived who didn't deserve it. And yet he took it. The cross is a form of torture, humiliation. Jesus suffered. But guess what? This is what gives me hope above all hope. That most evil act ever committed, God redeemed and made it the greatest thing to have ever happened in human history. That is something to clap for. And so no matter what is happening in your life, God offers redemption, renewal, restoration. And it's going to look differently for all of us. I asked all of you here, why are you here? You all have different reasons. You're all looking for something. But what I know Jesus has to offer you all is redemption. And that is going to be my prayer. I invite you to join in. That's why we do this. We want to try and more deeply understand the mission of Jesus so we can continue redeeming ourselves. The Lord can continue working through his Spirit in our lives, in your lives, and in our communities. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that we can have hope no matter what. And that this story teaches us and shows us your character. It shows us your heart. And I pray that people in here, each person in here, would be compelled to take this invitation, accept the invitation. Say, yes, Lord, I want to work for you. I want to continue the redeeming work. And I want you to start in my life, God. That is my prayer. Continue to redeem me from the inside out so that through your Spirit you can work through us. We love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.